You are being seated. If you would find in your copy of God's Word, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we will begin reading from verse 5 and go through verse 12 this morning. 1 John chapter 5. A couple of weeks ago, one of our deacons, Blake Frederick, and I went to a door and knocked on it. And the guy comes out. We tell him who we are and what we're up to, and he says, "No, thank you. I am an atheist." And in that moment, what do you say to a man like that? God bless you, go in peace? Leaving him in the peril that he currently is in? I couldn't help but to see if we could get a conversation started. And in that moment, when you are faced with an atheist, when you are faced with someone who claims that God's word is not true, what do you say? Young person getting ready to go off to the university, what will you say when your faith is questioned and when you are told what you believe is a lie? Church, it is not by might. We will not force anyone into belief. It is not by wit or cleverness that we will see someone come to Christ. It is not by eloquence of speech. None of those things do we have or carry with us in that conversation, but what we do have is the Word of God. Christians in this room, we live by the testimonies of God, and we stand under the authority of God's Word. This man listened, this man softened, and this man was left and received a gospel tract in his hand and a copy of the New Testament as we prayed for him. Church, this morning I want you to see the tried and true testimonies of God that you may believe the testimonies concerning Jesus as the Son of God and live. Read with me from 1 John chapter 5. Beginning in verse 5, "Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." I'm going to pause there and explain something very quickly. Maybe in your margin or at your footnote, you may have a little more in verse 8 than what is written in my copy of God's Word. I would just say this morning we're not going to address that. Many scholars believe that that was likely added after the original manuscripts. So that's as much as I will say about that. What is written there, if you have it, is not untrue. It's just likely not part of God's original Word. Continuing in verse 7, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Church, number one this morning, I want you to see the Holy Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at verse 6. The last sentence of verse 6 says, "And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." What does the Spirit testify? The Spirit testifies to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. And what did the Spirit come to do? Well, Paul explains in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." The Spirit came to set you free. free from the world. This is what verse 5 is telling us. Who is it that overcomes the world? If you remember back to John, 1 John, he wrote in chapter 2 what the world is. And if you remember, we kind of broke it down like this. The world, this is the passions of the flesh. This is the possessions of life. This is the desire for popularity or power or prominence. All of these things which once we were being pummeled by, what we were setting our sight on to achieve, pride and possessions and passions and power. And then we were set free from that when the Spirit testified, this is not life, but that is death. Life is found in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit testifies that whoever believes in Jesus overcomes the world, overcomes those temptations, and now we have been set free for victory. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came that we may believe and live. Not just living in the sense that we woke up this morning with breath in our lungs. I'm talking about a certain quality of life that is found in Jesus Christ. Eternal life has much more to do than just with the length. It is with the quality that Christ has come to give us life, to give us freedom, to help us to overcome the temptations of this world, to set us free from the deception and the dominance that the world once had over our lives. And the Spirit has been sent into this world, and the Holy Spirit has stepped into the witness stand, and he is never leaving. Notice the verb here is that the Spirit testifies ongoing forever into eternity. The Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. He's never leaving, and today and forever, the Spirit is the truth who gives ongoing witness to the truth of who Christ is, primarily the Son of God. Believe the Spirit. Number two this morning, it's not just the Spirit testifying to this truth. Number two, the water and the blood testify that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 8 tells us, the Spirit and the water and the blood, these three are in agreement. Literally, what this means is these three are for the one. These three witnesses are for the one thing. And what is that one thing? That one thing is what we stand on. The one thing that we live by. The one thing is who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Why is this such a blessing that these three all say the same thing, are all for the one thing? Because when Satan comes to you, and when Satan tempts you with crippling doubts and fears, did Jesus really come? Is Jesus real? Did Jesus accomplish what he says he came to do? And when all of us face those kind of questions, they will drive us to despair, lest we have the testimonies of God to stand under. So when Satan comes and he tempts you to despair and with doubts that cripple you, you can answer him by the testimony of the Spirit and by the testimony of the water and by the testimony of the blood. And Peter calls it the precious blood of Christ. And if you know Jesus, then you know exactly what he means, because is there anything more precious in all the world than the blood of our Savior? So when Satan comes to you, you can answer something like this in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. The three are for the one. That is, Jesus is the Son of God. The water testifies that Jesus physically went under the water and came up again. So long, Gnostics, who claimed that Jesus was some sort of spirit and not physical matter. With eyewitnesses in attendance, they saw him go physically under the water and rise again. Praise God for the water. You may say something like this concerning the blood. Hebrews 12:24 says, "You have come, you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." And what is that word that the blood speaks? Forgiveness. Pardon. Because if you're like me in this room, you have been convicted of your sins and you have felt the weight and the guilt and the iniquity, and you have seen your unholiness before a holy God, and it has led you to cry out to Jesus, and the Spirit testifies that by the blood you are pardoned. You are forgiven. His blood speaks a better word. His blood speaks not guilt, not revenge, but pardon, forgiveness. Matthew 27:54 says, "When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Publicly, on the cross, before a crowd, Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified. So long, philosophers who claim that if Jesus is God, how then could he die? Publicly, with eyewitnesses in attendance, Jesus' blood ran down his body and dripped down to the earth. His blood offers pardon and power and forgiveness, and by his blood, we are convinced that he is the Son of God. And you may say, "But I wasn't there, Joey." And I know, even if you put on a great front, there are times when your soul is assaulted with doubts and fears. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God is trustworthy. And when those doubts arise, you must answer with the Word of God if you are going to stand. You've got to know the Word. And so you say, "Oh, how blessed the centurion was to be able to be at the foot of the cross whenever Jesus breathed his last. If only I would have been there, then maybe I could say with them, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" But church, never discount the ongoing witness of the Holy Spirit today. As I have continued in ministry, and as I have continued in preaching the gospel, I have grown more and more understanding of my desperate need for the Holy Spirit's witness. Because apart from the witness of the Holy Spirit, I can tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and it means nothing to them. Their eyes glaze over. But what about you? When you heard the gospel, when you heard God's salvation through the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, did your eyes glaze over? No, your heart leapt up and you cried out, "Praise be to God that he sent his son Jesus to pay for my sins." We need the Spirit. It is the Spirit who makes it real to us. It is the Spirit who applies the blood to our souls and cleanses us. It's not by sight, it's by faith. And you can believe God's word. These three agree. The story is told many times that before every sermon that Charles Spurgeon preached in the tabernacle, he could be heard murmuring under his breath, "I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit." As the last song would be sung and he would make his way up into the pulpit, he would still be praying, "I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit." Apart from the Spirit, we can do nothing. This is why in my preaching Bible, at the very front, in large print, it is written, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." One of my favorite hymns. It's vain today if the Spirit of God does not meet with us in this room, but we have been promised once again by the Word of God that he is here with us. Praise Jesus. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Church, is your soul lit up this morning with dead works? Do you feel the guilt of a sin that you committed last Tuesday night? Maybe 20 years ago on a Friday night? Perhaps even last night you fell into some temptation. You hear the Spirit's testimony, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sins. Believe and live. Thirdly, God testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 9, if we receive the testimony of men. Some people live with the attitude, oh, we don't trust anybody. I don't trust anybody. And they live their lives in such pride, claiming they don't trust anybody. That's a lie. That is a lie. If you've ever gone to a pharmacy and taken medicine, then you have believed the testimony of men. Adrian Rogers put it like this: when your doctor writes you a prescription, you look at it, and although you cannot read it, you cannot pronounce it, and you cannot understand it, you give it to a pharmacist who puts pills in a bottle, then without a second thought, you take them home and swallow them. Why? Because we receive the testimony of men. And if we receive the testimony of men, should we not receive the testimony of God? God is trustworthy. God is greater. And this is the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. God has given his witness. God has given us the truth that Jesus is the Son of God and he cannot lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will not fulfill it? Titus 1:2 says, God never lies. And Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. You can trust God. I will say it again. You can trust God. He is trustworthy. You see, before you were a believer, God witnessed to you. But brothers and sisters in the room this morning, now that you have believed, is it not also true that God witnesses in you now? This is why I fully stand where I am, that anybody, living or dead, could come through this door, get in this pulpit, and give us an hour lecture of why what we believe is false. And there are hundreds in this room who would never fall for that, because we are convinced of the inward testimony of God that Jesus is the Son of God. Let the world say what they will. We will stand on the truth of God's word. And this truth will give us life, and it will lead us to an eternity of joy ever increasing in the presence of God our Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, that's inwardly, that we are children of God. Galatians 4:6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Have you and do you experience even now the internal witness that Jesus is the Son of God? And if you have not, and if you do not have that testimony inside of you, you need to ask yourself, have you believed the external witness? The Spirit testifies. The water testifies, and not only the water, but the blood testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. Church, anything other than believing who Jesus is, who he is, and has done what he's done, is making God out to be a liar. You know, there's not many greater insults that I could fathom than someone coming to me and saying, Joey, I think you are a wonderful, wonderful husband. Praise the Lord. Joey, I think you are a really, really good dad. Ha, that's a great compliment to me. Those are things that I strive at. Don't always achieve, but if someone thinks that, then praise the Lord. Joey, I think you are a pretty decent pastor. I appreciate even a little bit of your preaching. Ah, man, thank you. And they could go on and on about these things. You're a good friend. But Joey, there's one problem. I just don't trust you. I just cannot trust you. And I will not trust you. I think you're a liar. Whatever else they may have said before that, all goes out the door. If you cannot be trusted, then what is there left? And so no matter what lip service you pay to God, if your heart refuses to trust Him, nothing else that you say matters. But we, according to Paul, get the very gospel that we believe from the Scriptures. It's according to the Scriptures. Trust God's testimonies, because when you trust God's testimonies, you will be able to sing with the psalmist from 119. This song will come from your heart and not just from your lips. And you will cry out with the psalmist, verse 24, "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I love your testimonies. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly." Can you sing that with the psalmist? Do you love the word of God? Church, I pity the ones who cannot sing that song. I have relatives, and it breaks my heart into a million pieces to think how they get pummeled by the world day in and day out. The Christian, and I myself, might fall into the temptations of the world from time to time, but to see my loved ones getting wave after wave beat down by the world and by the Satan, by the temptations in this world, it breaks me into pieces. And I long to see them overcome the world. And I am thankful to gather with you each and every Lord's Day to remind each other that in Christ Jesus, we are more than overcomers. Paul says we are more than conquerors. You do not have to be beat up day in and day out by this world. In Christ Jesus, you have overcome the world. Stand on the word of God. Stand on His promises and live. Because there are some in this room who are not unbelievers. Don't get me wrong. There are some in this room right now, and I know by personal experience, you are being tormented with doubts, and your soul is all the worse for it. It's not that you're an unbeliever. It's that you lack assurance. And you can get to heaven without assurance. Do you know that? But you cannot get to heaven without trusting God. Listen to this pastoral wisdom from Charles Spurgeon. There was a lady in his church who used to show up every Lord's Day and drink in the gospel. She had evidence in her life that she was a child of God, born again. But she was left doubting and fearing and trembling about her spiritual condition. She had evidence in her life that she was a believer in Christ, but she told Charles Spurgeon that she had no hope, no faith, and believed that she was a hypocrite. Well, Charles Spurgeon, in his wisdom, said, "I'll tell you what then, do not come to church anymore, because we don't want hypocrites here." She replied that she couldn't stay away because she loved the people of God. She loved to come together and worship God. So Spurgeon said, "You are an odd sort of hypocrite. You are a strange kind of unconverted woman." She sighed and said, "Say what you will, sir, but I have no hope of being saved." So he said, "Then next Sunday, I will let you go into the pulpit that you may tell people that Jesus Christ is a liar, that you cannot trust Jesus Christ." She cried out in tears and said, "Oh, I would be torn in pieces before I would say such a thing as that. He cannot lie. Every word he says is true." And Spurgeon said, "Then believe it and live." Doubter in this room, are you willing to step up to the stage and call God a liar? Are you willing to say, "God, I cannot trust you and I will not trust you"? If you're unable, And if you're unwilling, but you continue to have doubt in your life, come under the authority of God's word. Stand on his promises. Believe God and live. It's time to lay aside the crippling weight of sin, of unbelief. This is why this letter was written. Verse 11, this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. By believing in the name of Jesus, you have life. It's eternal life. Live. Live. You have permission. You have been given life from God. Live. Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Live. Put the weight of doubt aside and live. Enjoy life. Enjoy all that Christ is for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoy all that God is for you in Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. As our musicians come forward, believe the tried and true testimonies of God and live. Pray with me. Father God, there's nothing greater you've ever given than your Son, Jesus Christ. And we gather once again this Lord's Day to declare that we believe your testimonies are true, that by the Spirit and the water and the blood that testifies to us and in us, Jesus is our Savior who has given us life. Lord, if there's one in here this morning who has not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Son, may your Spirit bring this poor sinner home this morning. Lord, if there's a saint in this room who needs to lay aside the weight of doubt and fear, may your Spirit bring them assurance this morning. Your word is true forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come down?